there. I heard you guys singing. Good job. So, hey, we have, by the way, if this is your first time here, let me just say thank you. Thank you for being here today, giving us a shot, kicking the tires, whatever you want to call it. Thank you for doing that. It's a big deal to kind of come to church and not knowing anybody, not knowing where it's at, especially if you come over the hill. I mean, most of us that have been here at MC3, we kind of go, that's no big deal, right? But you come over the hill and you can't really see anything. You kind of go, so what's about to happen here, right? So, but then you crest the hill and you see the building and you see people that halfway look like they know what they're doing, so which is really cool. So anyways, but we're glad you're here. By the way, if you're new with us, later on, back where the first time sign is, you'll see a guy named back here by the name of Kevin. You can see him. He's got a free gift for you. Anyways, just say thank you. Hey, listen, we're getting ready to get into a busy month, and I'm not talking about the fact that it's right before the holidays and all that, but I'm just saying it's busy. In fact, as a staff, we kind of mentioned a few weeks ago, we asked our question, do we do too much in this time, you know, because October was busy. I mean, just last weekend, you guys were doing the trunk or treat and all that, you know, we wore you out from all that, and then we've got angel bags going on. Right, and that sort of thing. So we know there's a lot of stuff happening, and we ask a lot of you guys, and you guys step up every time, and I appreciate that. But we kind of ask that question because I say all this because the month of November, I need you all to kind of just strap in, you know, grab the bar in front of you, make sure that your seatbelt is fastened and everything, your tray tables are in or full in upright position, because it's going to be a bumpy ride, because we've got three different opportunities in missions for us to be a part of, right? And not everything's going to fit with your schedule. We get that. But listen, we got angel bags happening, right? So this is not all the angel bags. The other day, I went to Jonesboro and picked up 95 of those things and got over to the mission house, and I was like, whoa. I mean, I don't know how many bags that were in there. Well over 1,000. They've already had stuffed and ready to go, put in trash bags to go in the trailers, and there's a lot more that needs to go on. So here's what you can do. First of all, if you want to still be a part of Angel Bags, you can do that. You can pick up a bag, and there's a list there, a supply list you can go through and you know, get it, but you'll have to do it ASAP. And then if you want to help out even further at the Mission House in Loganville with SOAR, not too far, just down the street, you can do that. Carrie needs a ton of help making sure that those bags get checked. And some of those bags that we put together, like you go, okay, well, we can give, like, can we split this bag up so we can, it'll maximize our opportunity to minister to more kids. And so a lot of that stuff goes on. So really needs our help. In fact, you're going to hear us talk about this in the video announcement in just a little bit, but we're going to need some help loading the trailer in a couple weeks. And that's a big deal. So if you've got muscles or you think you have muscles, we need your help to be a part of that, right? Because it doesn't take long by the time you do the whole, you know, fireman bucket brigade type thing. But it's making sure that we get all those trailers loaded to go down to the border. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to pray for Mexico, because Carrie just shared with me this past week that the cartels are being a jerk. Imagine that. In that area where these bags are going to go to. And so we don't know what's about to happen with all that. I mean, I'm talking, they're blocking roads. There's a missionary that's supposed to come up to ICOM. He's not sure he can get here with things that are going on. So we need to pray that all that kind of releases so that the bags will get down and Abdiel will get up here. He's actually supposed to speak. Him and I are going to do a Q&A in a couple of weeks here on stage. And so, but he's got to get here first, right? And so we just need you to pray for all of that. Plus we have, that's one, that's angel bags, that's one. The second is the global mission experience. And that'll happen right here in this room. In fact, that little shack in the back is a part of that. If you remember that from last year, if you were here last year, that's a little shack in there of what you might see in India or maybe other places. And so that's not all completed yet, but that's happening. And so we'll have other things in the room, other interactive things that kind of help us kind of pivot toward the persecuted church. Friday night and Saturday is when those things are. And so we got Friday night offering. We got Saturday afternoon type stuff, Chick-fil-A lunch, that sort of thing happening. So a lot of stuff there. And then we got this thing called ICOM, which is International Conference on Missions. And it's down near the airport at the convention center there. And it may not work out with your schedule, but man, if you can make it work, we'd love for you to be a part of that. In fact, a couple of us have already signed up to be a part of their little prayer team things that they've got. while we're down there. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, let me know. I can get you signed up for that, make sure that happens as well. But there's a lot of stuff happening. So just kind of be watching for everything. And that's not even the holidays, right? I mean, we haven't even gotten to the holidays yet with all that. So a lot of things going on. Anyways, just to let you know, just be ready. It's going to be a bumpy ride. October is stacked and packed right here around. October was, and November is going to be stacked and packed as well. And so here, I got to thinking about this the other day too. You know, sometimes I think that as a staff, our job is to make sure that you have plenty of opportunities to serve. And so we want to help you limp across into heaven, right? Like you're like, dude, that was terrible. Oh, that was, oh man, that was great. I hope it never happens again, right? And so you're welcome for the limp that you have, right? So, but that's our hope anyways. And listen, today we're going to talk about our sermon series this month is going to be talking about a church on mission. And this is what we're going to talk about here today because we want to make sure that we are on mission. In fact, your mission are the people that you rub elbows with every day, right? The people that are around you, that is your mission. And we want you to know that some of you probably are here. Well, I'm going to say most all of us are here because somebody was on mission. Somebody was on mission. Somebody told us about Jesus. Someone invited us to church. Someone did their due diligence on their side to make sure that they invited us to come. Right? Maybe so down the line, maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was your neighbor. I don't know who it was, but somebody told you about Jesus, and you just like, okay, I'll go. I'll give it a shot. I'll see what happens, right? In fact, oddly enough, this past week in our men's group on Monday night, which by the way, if you got a Monday night free at 7 o'clock right here at MC3, we have a great men's group that gets together and just kind of discusses how can we live up to the measure of a man that Paul gives to us in 1 Timothy and Titus. And so that's what we're doing right now. We've got a couple more weeks and then we'll kind of push pause into January, but that happens. But we asked our men this question. We said, how did you come to know Christ? How did you come to know Jesus? And so they began to share some of the ways that they came to know who Jesus was. For me personally, I came to know through my parents. My dad was not a Christian when he was younger, neither were his parents, but someone told him along the way, and then he told me and my sister, and my sister and I told our families, and I've got my boys here, and when they have their kids, they will do the same. And so that's what we're called to do, is to be on mission. In fact, I got to thinking about the fact that my parents were commissioned by the Lord to do that for us, right? To do that, to make sure that we knew who Jesus was. And so we are all commissioned as followers of Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are commissioned by him to go and tell the people around you about Jesus. You are commissioned. It's not just for ministers, not just for people who get paid to do that, not just for people that went to seminary or went to Bible college, but it's all of us. All of us have been called to go. And so we've been commissioned. And so if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, you're on mission, right? My guess is you probably are on mission. And even if you go, I don't really intentionally do it, it probably just kind of leaks out of you, right? Just by the things that you do. In fact, today we're going to look at the Great Commission that we see in Scripture, as it's been called. Now, the Great Commission is found in Matthew chapter 28. And if you've been around MC3 for any length of time, you know that we probably read this verse ad nauseum. It's to remind us what our mission is. And after his resurrection, after Jesus died on the cross and was placed in a tomb and rose again 3 days later, Jesus hung around for 40 days. And he's kind of in and out of the disciples' lives. And on the very last day before he ascended into heaven, he gave them this commission. He commissioned them to go on mission. And so this is what it says in Matthew chapter 28. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, it's up on the screen right behind me. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, it says, "Now the 11 disciples," because remember, Judas killed himself, so he's not there. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." right? And part of me goes, come on, Thomas, get with it, right? Come on, right? You know, it's kind of what, and they didn't doubt, but they doubted a little bit, like, okay, is this like Jesus? Is this not Jesus? Because he's kind of been in and out. He's kind of played cameo appearances here and there, right? And so some of them kind of curious about things. And then verse 18, it says, and Jesus said to them, and this is really important. This is the part where you and I lean in. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey or observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, that's the Great Commission. That's what we call the Great Commission. In fact, your Bible may even say in there somewhere along the line, like a header that's been put in, Great Commission. Mine has it right here. It says, the Great Commission. It's right there. Obviously, this is a scripture that a lot of us, if you've been around the Bible a bit, that you know, that you've heard. But the word commission or the word great, neither one of those is in the scripture there as we read it. And it kind of makes you wonder, well, where did that come from, right? Well, it actually came from a British missionary, or at least he's tagged with bringing it to us. It could have been somebody else that said it and he picked up on it. We don't really know. But it was picked up by British missionary Hudson Taylor, who ministered in China. And he said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed. And so that he kind of, I don't know if he coined the phrase, but he definitely made it popular, the Great Commission. And here's my question. Here's my question to you. And this is not original to me, this question, but I think it's a great question to ask. And that's this: what makes the Great Commission so great? You ever thought about that before? What makes the Great Commission so great? So first, let's define what commission really means, right? What does that word commission mean? Well, it means to be commissioned, means to have a mandate, to have a promotion, you could call it that. It is a means given where you can give someone power to perform a particular mission that's been laid out there. When I think about great commissions or good commissions or people that have been commissioned to do certain things, you think about the birth of our nation, right? George Washington, he was commissioned to be the commander of the Continental Army, and we are a part of the results of some of that. If you think about Lewis and Clark, they were commissioned to explore the Louisiana Purchase, right? That's a pretty cool commission that they got, and they were able to go through areas that you and I now go through when it comes to going through national parks and things like that. Or what about this? What about Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Buzz Aldrin? They were commissioned to take Apollo 11 rocket, get in it, sit in it, strap themselves in it, and go out of the atmosphere and go to the moon, and then come back. That's a pretty cool commission as well. I don't know if you call it a great commission, but it's a pretty cool commission. But none of those commissions or any commissions you might think about, like, man, what about this or what about that? None of those commissions even compare to the Great Commission that we read about in Matthew chapter 28. And the question you may have is like, well, why not? Why don't those compare to the same? What does make the Great Commission so great? Why is it such a great commission that Jesus would say to you and to me, all authority has been given to me, so therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you? What makes that so great? Well, as we talked about last week, all eternity hinges on Jesus, right? All eternity hinges on Jesus. So the Great Commission has eternal implications for all people. That's one of the reasons why it's so great. It has eternal implications for all people, for you, for me, for everyone around us, people down the street that we don't know their names, people we work with, kids at school. It has eternal implications for all people. Therefore, the mission to therefore go very well could impact the people that you know. It could impact where they will spend eternity. Think about that for a second. Us going just may have an opportunity to impact someone for Jesus. The bags that you filled that go down to Mexico, and those kids, they don't just aren't just handed bags and say, here you go, Merry Christmas. They are actually given a gospel presentation. Churches have been launched because of the angel bags. And so could you imagine that some of those that get angel bags, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 years eventually go, man, I got to know this Jesus, and begin to go to church, begin to go to one of the churches that's been launched through that. It's an incredible opportunity. And so it's a great mission that we've been called to be on. It's a great responsibility that we've been given. It's a great commission. It really is. It's a great commission. But that's not the only thing that makes the Great Commission so great. I think what makes the Great Commission so great is because it begins and ends with Jesus. It begins and ends with Jesus. Look what he says right here, Matthew 28. We're going to take these few verses, and we're just going to kind of break them up a little bit. So if you got your pen handy, you know how I always like to circle, highlight, point arrows, and write in my Bible? Man, I guarantee you, if you've got a paper Bible, this may be one that you want to make sure that this happens. So here we go. It says here in verse 18, Jesus says, all authority. All authority, not part, not some, but all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All of the authority has been given to Jesus. That word authority is a Greek word exousia, and it just means to have all the power, all the jurisdiction, right? He holds, we know from Scripture, he holds the keys to death and Hades. At the resurrection, as Jesus rose from the dead, man, it broke the enemy's back. It broke the enemy's back. And the only reason that you and I are still kind of dealing with the sinful world today is because the Lord waits to return to gather as many people as he can into the kingdom. If he were to come back, you know, today, then those that wouldn't accept him tomorrow wouldn't make it. And so he waits for that proper time that he knows. But when it's time, it'll be time, and he'll be here. And that's what makes this mission so important for you and for me. The Great Commission is great because, here's the thing, Jesus makes everything great. Jesus makes everything great. I think about the time in Mark chapter 7 when Jesus goes and he heals the deaf and mute man. And he does these weird things where he kind of licks his fingers and puts in his ear and he spits and all this weird stuff that Jesus does. And the guy is healed from all of this. But then I think about what is said about Jesus by the people around him. In fact, in Mark chapter 7, verse 37, it says this, the people were overwhelmed with amazement at what Jesus did. And he had done everything. They said this, he has done everything well. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speaks. We look at that and go, I know, right? Jesus just makes everything better, right? Jesus makes everything great. He heals the blind. He heals the lame. He heals people of their leprosy. He casts out demons. Jesus just makes everything great. Jesus can take our lousy situation that we find ourselves in. He can take a horrible situation that we're in or someone else is in. He can flip it on its end, turn it upside down, and use it to impact the people that are around us for their salvation and for his glory. That's what he can do. That's what he can do. I remember a story, and I know this was on the radio where I heard this. It was a true story, and I wish I could have written some of this down, but I couldn't because I was driving. But we're going to call her Doris. I don't remember her exact name, but I remember this story. It impacted me, and I hope it impacts you. True story. But there's a lady by the name, we're going to call her Doris. She devoted her life to being a follower of Jesus. Doris, somehow along the way, contracted a debilitating disease that left her blind and paralyzed and in a nursing home. Doris used to serve the Lord with energy and vigor, but now her body would not allow her to be able to serve in that way. And so, in fact, Doris, anybody kind of wonder, what can Doris even do, right? She can't do anything. She can't move. She can't see. What can she do? There was nothing that she had to offer the Lord. Could you imagine her frustration in that? And you know what happens a lot of times? I see able-bodied people that refuse to serve the Lord, but then I see people with aches and pains that take, you know, it's just hard to get up, get going. Man, they're ready to serve the Lord. Isn't that kind of interesting how that works? And here you have Doris, who is a caged racehorse, ready to serve, and now she can't because of her body's just kind of broken. I couldn't imagine her frustration. The family had hired a nurse to sit with Doris in the nursing home to tend to her every need. The nurse was pleasant, but she wasn't a believer. And so the nurse was there to help out, and the nurse wasn't a follower of Jesus, but Doris was there, and so she helped Doris with every little thing. And she asked Miss Doris, is there anything else I can do for you? And she goes, you know what I really miss? I really miss reading God's Word. Would you be willing to read the Bible for me? This nurse had never read the Bible before. And she said, well, yeah, sure, I guess. I've never read it before, but okay. And so she started to read the Bible to Doris. The more she read, the more she read, the more she started to believe. The more she started to believe, the more she started to ask questions, and Doris began to answer her questions. Let me tell you something. This little lady who was blind and paralyzed, didn't have much to offer Jesus, led that nurse to Jesus. You see, Jesus makes everything great, even our situations that we find ourselves in. That's what makes the Great Commission so great. That's what makes the Great Commission so great. The Great Commission is great because Jesus calls you and me, calls us to a greater purpose than just existing in this world. But it's pointing people to the next world. Look at what Jesus says in verses 18 to 20 here in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Jesus has been given all authority. He's been given all authority. So then what does he do with that authority that he's been given? He then pivots to us and he goes, okay, all authority's been given to me by my Father. Here you go. Go out and get them. Sick them, basically, right? Sounds bad, but that's not quite the way he puts it, right? And so Jesus then turns to us and says, here you go. Now you've been commissioned to go and tell the good news about what I've done, about what I've done for you, what I've done for others. I think about how Jesus called those early disciples such a long time ago. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. You know, the gospel writers don't write exactly the exact experience that each one had. Each one had a little bit different, not a different take, but they just heard different parts of the story. And some of them condensed them down a little bit. Mark is a smaller book than all the other gospels, and he tends to condense down stories just a little bit. And in Matthew chapter 4, we get a condensed version of what happened to Andrew and Peter and James and John. But I got to thinking about these guys that are just fishermen, right? They thought that that's all they were going to do was just be a fisherman. Then Jesus shows up. Now, John chapter 1 tells us that they got to meet Jesus and hang out with Jesus a little bit. So it wasn't like Jesus just came walking along this Sea of Galilee and said, hey, come hang out with me. And they're like, all right, whatever. I guess we can do that, right? And they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, they kind of knew. They heard Jesus. They've heard him preach. And when the time came right, Jesus commissioned them. And listen to this commissioning. In verse 18, it says this, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. Jesus knew them. They knew Jesus. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus says, and I will send you out to fish for people. Man, those guys, I bet those guys thought that they would never, ever do anything else other than fish. Could you imagine what that's like every day? And we're not talking like, you know, going out on Lake Lanier with your rod and reel, you know, sit there, you know, drinking soda, right? Well, fishing, right? And just enjoying, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, this is heavy lifting. Taking a heavy net, throwing it out, letting it go down, waiting, and pulling it back in. And if you got no fish, then you did it again, and you just kept doing that all day long. Then when you got fish in the boat, you know, you had to sort through the fish, right? Like, this is a good one, this is a bad one, right? You had to go through it all. Could you imagine what that was like? They probably never thought ever. They probably never thought ever that they were going to run into Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Could they ever have imagined that Jesus would give them such a commission to be one of his disciples, that they would be a disciple of the Messiah, the one they've been waiting for, the one they've talked about, the one they all dreamed about as little boys? Here is Jesus, the Son of God, and now he's calling them to come and to go be fishers of men. They were probably just resigned themselves that this is my life. I'm gonna live as a fisherman because my dad lived as a fisherman, and I'm gonna die as a fisherman, just like everybody else before me. But that's not what happens here. Jesus steps into their life and gives them a greater purpose than they ever could have imagined. In fact, if they stayed fishermen, you and I would never know their name. We wouldn't give a rip about them, right? We wouldn't care who they are. But because Jesus gives them a greater purpose. Now we know their names. We read their stories. We see all these things that they have done. Could you imagine where your life would be without Jesus? Could you imagine where your life would be without Jesus? And not only is he preparing a place for us in eternity, right? Which sounds like a cool thing. That's awesome. I don't know what it's going to be like. I know it's going to be amazing. But not only is he preparing a place for us, but he has commissioned us to do something while we wait for that to happen here on earth. While you still draw breath, while you still have life within you, you and I have been called to go and do something. To go and tell people the story about who Jesus is. Think about this for a second. Think about this. According to Jesus, you are plan A. There is no plan B. There is no plan B. Listen, and I've said this before, and there's nothing I haven't said before. I believe we're in the end times. Jesus has his A team on the field right now. And if you're a follower of Jesus, that includes you. That includes you. Part of that A team every Thursday goes just down the street to the Good News Club over here at Shiloh Elementary. And we were asked to do this, to go and teach the gospel to a group of 40, almost 50 kids now. That's an incredible thing. Now, it's not new to us. There's other places and other schools that are doing this. But we get this opportunity. How amazing is that, right? And the people that signed up and said, okay, I've got the time and I've got the energy, sort of, and I've got the, you know, I've got the ability to do that, right? Because I'm telling you, those kids will wear you out. I can do this. And they go and do it. That's an incredible thing. That's what it looks like to go and do that, right? You and I have been commissioned to do that. You are plan A. There is no plan B. And so who's going to go do it? Well, let's let Art and Keith do it because they get paid to do that kind of thing. You know what our job is to do? Our job is to stir you guys up and say, here's the opportunities. Now go get them, right? Go get them. That's what I hope that you get out of the sermons you hear, the lessons you hear, is that you hear us going, okay, we're encouraging you, now go get them. And we're going to be right there with you too, rubbing elbows with you as best we know how. We are plan A, there is no plan B. You are called to a higher purpose than what you're doing. And maybe what you're doing is pretty cool stuff, right? Maybe the place where you work is really awesome, and that's great. But you're called to be there so that you can minister to the people around you. Right now, that doesn't mean you have to get on a soapbox and start preaching and say, okay, Art, can I have that sermon? Because I want to give that same sermon to the people in my, the lunchroom or whatever. No, you don't have to do that. It's just being there for others, caring for others, praying for others, sharing Jesus whenever there's an opportunity, being his witnesses, as Jesus says, in Jerusalem, like in your small little area, and in Judea, right, in a kind of a wider frame, and in Samaria, and then into the ends of the earth. Jesus calls us to a greater purpose. Jesus calls us to a greater purpose. But hang on, there's more. There's more things that make the Great Commission so great, because it's great because the scope of the mission is not just local, it's global. It's global, which that's what I hope that you learn this month by kind of being around all these mission stuff that we're doing. Jesus says that we're to make disciples of all nations, of all nations. We are called to be his witnesses. Wherever we go, even to the ends of the earth, Scripture says. And so in two weeks, there's going to be a gentleman here by the name of Rajan Ipe and his daughter Cindy. Rajan is from Kerala, India, which is a state. It's on the southwest side of the state. And it's an incredible place to see. And he has built an incredible ministry. But he is coming here into the States, and he'll be here to preach on that Sunday, November 16th. In fact, if you're like, I don't know if I'm going to be here, be here, right? You could skip out of one of my sermons. You can hear that anytime. But you don't want to miss Rajan. You don't want to miss Rajan. His story is very interesting. I'm going to give you the brief Cliff Notes version of this. Basically, a lady here in the States by the name of Joni Grimm went to India, met Rajan, found out that he wanted to study hotel management. And so Joni said something to the effect of, well, hey, come to America. Stay with me and my husband. You can study at this wonderful college by the name of Atlanta Christian College, right? Who, by the way, I don't think they had a I don't think they had a study on hotel management, but he didn't need to know that, right? So anyways, he comes over, does that, stays with them, goes to Atlanta Christian College, becomes a Christian. The Lord gets a hold of him, and he goes into ministry, and then he goes back to India and launches several churches, 40 to 50 some churches, maybe more by now, and even plants a church back here in the States in New York. How incredible is that? Talk about crisscrossing the globe. Talk about a global ministry. The Great Commission is great because the scope of the mission isn't just local, it's also global. We got ICOM coming up. One of the great things about the International Conference on Missions is that if you go, if you're able to go, by the way, it's free for all us MC3ers. You just show up and go, we're with MC3, and they go, okay, come on in, right? Now, I don't think that we're anything like, you know, we're not all that in a bag of chips, because there's other churches that are there too. We've already got you covered. We've already paid for it. And so you can show up for free. Now, you may have to pay for parking. That's on you, okay? But you show up, and you're able to see all these people that minister all over the world, and even those that minister all throughout Atlanta. Have you ever been on a missions trip before? You ever done anything global before? You ever been out of the States? Maybe you've been to Haiti, Jamaica, Mexico, Honduras, India, wherever it might be. Maybe just, you know, to go actually go on a missions trip. If you've done that, then let me just say this: you have participated in global missions, right? If you gave money to someone who was going on a missions trip that was outside of the country, you have participated in global missions. If you have packed a angel bag, you actually went and you went to the shop and all that sort of thing, and you brought it here, you have participated in global missions. If you've gone to the mission house and you've helped out there and you've done all that and you've loaded bags in the trailers, then you have participated in global missions. If you have given any money for offering here at MC3, right? You know, from a dollar all the way to whatever, right? You have participated in global missions, because 10% out of what is given automatically goes to either local or global missions here at MC3. Here's the thing. You may think, well, I've never participated in global missions before. Well, if you've done some of those things, then yes, you have. If you have prayed for anyone that serves overseas, then you have participated in global missions. You may go, well, I haven't done that yet. Well, it's because that's going to happen. That's going to happen with the global mission experience. You're going to see opportunities. You're going to see people's pictures, their families, and you're going to have the opportunity to pray, particularly for ministers in India. One of the things we did back in the summer when we went to India is we kind of interviewed all of these ministers there in India, and we started asking them kind of the same questions over and over again so that we could start writing those down and documenting those things so that you guys can pray for them. So that's coming. That's coming. Just hold on. It's coming. You've participated in global missions whether you recognize it or not. That's what makes the Great Commission so great. It's not just local. It's global, right? It's global. It's got eternal implications. It's got a greater purpose for all of us. It's a great commission because Jesus makes it great, right? Makes it great. You see, Jesus is always with us when we serve. He's always with us when we serve. In fact, he says it in Matthew 28. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, behold, I am with you always. I'm with you always. Remember, Jesus makes everything great, right? Jesus makes everything great. When you and I serve, whether it's children's ministry, whether it's in the tech ministry, whether it's in donuts, whether it's on stage, wherever you serve, even if it's at trunk or treat, we do it for the glory of God, and God is there with us. Jesus is with us as we do that. Jesus always makes everything great. It always amazes me what Jesus can do through us when we simply just therefore go and make disciples, right? We just say, okay, I'm going to go, right? I'm constantly amazed how God uses imperfect people to tell the perfect story of God's perfect love. The very fact that you and I are invited to participate in the Great Commission blows my mind. That makes things great right there just for me. in and of itself. You and I have an opportunity to participate in that. Remember, we're plan A, there is no plan B. And so you and I get an opportunity to step in and commit to serving God, right? Right now, I'm just going to say this because you're going to hear us kind of mention this a little bit. We're going to need some help in the nursery, right? We got babies that are here, and then we got babies coming. And so we're going to need some help. And we've got nursery workers, but you know they're like, you know, I don't know how they're juggling everybody, right? I'm not sure what's that. So we're going to need some help in all that. We're going to need some nursery workers. And so some of you are like, I'll do that. I'll spoil babies and then give them back, right? Shake them up and give them back, that sort of thing, right? So don't shake them. But you know what I mean, right? So we want to make sure that we're going to love these little kids, right? Because they're going to grow up in the church. They're going to go to pre-K and they're going to go to K and then they're going to go into elementary and eventually they're going to go to student ministry and then, who knows, go to college and go on the mission field. Who knows what might happen? All because you decided to step in, help out. Carrie needs people in the tech ministry right now. I think she's pushing a lot of buttons right in there. And so we need some help with that. And so those are some areas that we're going to need some help with as time goes on. So we need people to step in and say, absolutely, put me in, coach. I'll do that. We need people that are commit to pray. And in the midst of it, you and I get a chance that when we leave out of here, we're just telling people just about Jesus, about our stories, right? Telling people about the story of how we came to know Christ. Those little conversations, those are incredible. Those mean everything. You've been commissioned to do something great in the kingdom, whether you know it or not. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've been commissioned to do that. Do you know what else makes the commission great? You know what makes the commission great? The Great Commission is great because of the finale. Because of the finale. Great. I mean, don't you love finales? Don't you love like fireworks? You know, at the end, they always save up just a little bit extra fireworks. All of a sudden, they just kind of, it's like, whoa, it's incredible. The grand finale. Or maybe you've been to a musical where, you know, it's the grand finale and all the cast come out and start singing and it just makes everything great. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says this before he ascends into heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me on earth and in heaven. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age, to the end of the church age, to the end of when he's coming back. He's coming back some point in time. I'm going to say soon, because that's what he says in Revelation chapter 22. And if 2,000 years ago was soon, I'm assuming that means it's really soon now, right? And so our going to the proverbial Jerusalem, wherever that is for us, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, our telling of the gospel story to everyone that we meet is important. Culminates in a grand finale at the end of the age as Jesus returns, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's written on, Scripture says it's written on his thigh. He comes to rule and reign in love forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I love, if you've been around Christian music, maybe you listen to some of the Christian stations. In fact, we were talking about this song the other day in staff meeting, and then for whatever reason, 2 days later, 3 days later, on a Thursday, I heard this song like over and over and over again. I'm like, man, why is this Christian radio station playing this song so much? I mean, it seemed like every time I turned it on, it was just on. Our kids sang this song for Youth Sunday back in August, but it's Phil Wickham's song, What an Awesome God, right? That's his rendition of it. He said, I love the very end where he says this, because he reminds us of Jesus' grand finale. He says, eyes on the sky, there will be a day. He will come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. For everything you've done and everything you do and everything you are, I'll sing to you. My God, what an awesome God. You're great in all you do. I'm made to worship you. My God, you are an awesome God. Man, Jesus just makes everything better, doesn't he? Just makes everything great. He just does. And you and I are invited to participate in the greatness of the Great Commission. We are invited to participate in this grand purpose that he's called us to be a part of, to go and tell the good news about Jesus, to make disciples, to baptize them, to teach them. And so you and I have been called to do that. And here's the thing. My hope is that you don't just come in on Sunday mornings and go, well, that was fun. Let's go eat lunch. Let's go home. Let's check a box and let's get out of here, right? My hope is you come in, you're like, man, I'm ready to serve. Put me in, coach. Show me what I need to do. Because what's interesting is when we serve in here, it prepares us to serve out there, right? We get our hearts kind of ready and prepared and prepped for when we leave out of here. Because here in just a little bit, whether you know it or not, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're about ready to enter the mission field. Happens as soon as you leave out of this property. Man, that's when the mission starts, right? If you're a husband, it starts with your wife. If you're a wife, it starts with your husband. It starts with your family, you know, people you work with, that's our mission. What's interesting is when I think about communion, we're going to take communion here in just a little bit. We got two tables up front, two tables in the back. We're going to ask you, which is the way we always do it. So if you're new, you're like, okay, what's about to happen? Because everybody does communion just a little bit different. We're going to ask you to kind of get up and just kind of go and grab it. And then you could take it back to your seat. You could take it off to the side of the tables over there and kneel if you want to. It's up to you. Some take it at the tables themselves. But what I love about communion is it's a reminder of what Jesus has done for us at the cross and at the tomb. But Paul also says that it's an opportunity for us to proclaim Jesus' death to other people, that Jesus really died on the cross and that he rose from the dead. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul bears this out. He's talking to the church in Corinth, and they weren't doing so well. They were having a hard time with communion. They had a hard time with everything. If you ever read 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul had some tough words for him. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord myself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it into pieces, and he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it.'" And I want you to listen to this last part right here. I love this. This is incredible, because in verse 26, he says this, "For every time you eat this bread," every time you take communion here at MC3, "every time you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes, until the grand finale." And so you and I, even if it's in the next generation that it happens, you and I are going to continue to take communion because it shouts about Jesus. It proclaims the message of Jesus. It proclaims the gospel. The gospel message is that Jesus came, Jesus died, was buried, rose again 3 days later, and ascends into heaven and is going to return. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's the gospel message. So if you ever wanted to know, what is the gospel message? What's the good news? That's what gospel means. It means good news. What is the good news about Jesus? That's it. That he came into the world to save you and me. You and I couldn't save ourselves. Our sin was too great, right? We couldn't do it. I mean, we can't be good enough. We just can't. I'd love to tell you that's the way it is. I'd love to tell you you could be great. You'd be good enough just to waltz into heaven and go, "Hey, here I am." It's not going to happen. You commit one sin, that's it. You can't make it into heaven. That sounds like, well, really? That sounds bad. That's the way it's set up. That's the way it's set up. But what's interesting is God didn't go, "Well, then figure it out yourself. Figure out how it's going to happen." He sent his one and only son to die for us. That's the incredible part. He sends his one and only son to die for us so that we have an opportunity to be able to waltz into heaven. But we don't do it in our own power, our own strength. We do it because Jesus died on the cross, rose again 3 days later. And so you and I are to proclaim that very message so that other people might know that as well. So here in a little bit, you're going to have the opportunity to proclaim Jesus to those around you. And mind you, yeah, it's the church. We know. But what better place to try it out? What better place to proclaim right here to prepare us for what's about to happen here in a little bit when we leave out of here? Because as we enter the mission field, that's where people really need to hear the message of Jesus. Let me say this. Let me say thank you for taking on the commission that Jesus has given to you, MC3. You guys do an incredible job, really. And I know we ask a lot of you, and we're going to keep asking a lot of you because we want you to cross those portals with a limp, understanding that, man, I had some great opportunities to share the love of Jesus with a bunch of people. Sometimes it was in the church, and sometimes it was outside the church. And my hope is that if we're able to look back ever on this world, that we'll look back and go, man, I'm so glad we had that opportunity to be able to do that. Let me pray for us and let you take communion here in just a second. Father God, I thank you for your great love for us. Lord, thank you for the purpose that you've called us to be on. Thank you, Father, for setting it up to where Jesus has all authority, and then he pivots to us and says, okay, here you go. Now go. Go and tell. Just tell the story. Tell the story about how I've saved you. Tell the story about what I've done in your life. Tell it to others. And so, Father, thank you that you make it so super simple for us. I thank you, Lord God, that not only do you make it simple, but you're there with us. Lord, we don't do it alone, that you are always with us. Even, Lord God, to the very end of the age, when that grand finale happens, you will be right there with us, and we will get a chance, Father, to live with you for eternity. What an incredible thing. And so, Father, I pray that as we go through this month and as we kind of talk about being commissioned, Lord, I pray that you would help us to look around at the people that we rub elbows with, and Lord, that we might ask you, who is it that you want us to reach? Who is it that you want us to tell? Who is it that you want us to pray for? Who is it that you want us to serve? Who is it, Lord God, that we need to minister to so that they can know about you? And they won't miss out. They won't miss out on heaven, and they won't miss out on the commission that they can have that will give them a greater purpose in their life as well. And so, Father, as we partake today, as we partake of the bread and the cup, Lord, I pray you would remind us, Lord God, about what you've done for us, and remind us about that, about the fact that that's the story that we need to tell the people around us. And so, Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, as we partake, Lord, may you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.